guy's going to be some senator one day.
Ladies, gentlemen, boys, and girls, welcome back to a brand new episode of The Jesse Hughes Show. I'm excited to be here today. Thank you all for tuning in. I'm excited to talk about some of the topics that we have on deck today, starting off with recently there were six demonstrators who were found guilty of violating a federal act called the FACE Act. They are now facing up to 11 years in federal prison. This is from the Daily Wire. Six pro-lifers were found guilty on Tuesday after the Biden administration charged them over a peaceful protest at a Tennessee abortion facility in 2021. They face up to 10 and a half years of prison. The pro-life activists were accused by the Department of Justice of violating the FACE Act and civil rights conspiracy for a protest that took place in a hallway outside of a Mount Juliet abortion provider on March 5, 2021. On that day, a group of demonstrators gathered on the second floor of an office building in the hallway outside the Carafem Health Center Clinic. The group prayed, sang hymns, and urged women showing up to the clinic to not get abortions. A very noble cause, if I do say so myself. Those on trial included Chet Gallagher of Tennessee, Coleman Boyd of Mississippi, Trevor Idani of Michigan, Carl Zastro of Michigan, Paul Vaughn of Tennessee, and Dennis Green of Virginia. The conspiracy charge can be punished with up to 10 and a half years in prison, 3 years of supervised release, and fines up to $260,000, while the FACE Act charge can lead to 1 year in prison and a $10,000 fine. The verdict was delivered on the fifth day of the trial, which took place at the Fred D. Thompson Courthouse in Nashville. The court was overseen by Judge Alita Togger, appointed to the court in 1998 by then-President Bill Clinton. One of the government's key witnesses was Caroline Davis, a woman who was arrested with the group at Carafem. During her testimony, Davis claimed that she had a change of heart about attending the protest and that her rational side was in the toilet at the time of her participation. She said that she changed her mind over time and that being indicted by the federal government terrified her, as it probably would anybody. Video of the demonstration showed the group singing songs like Holy, Holy, Holy and Onward Christian Soldiers, both very popular hymns within Christian communities, especially Reformed circles, while others showed members of the group talking to police. Another video showed one participant telling her to speak in love to a man with his girlfriend who had shown up at the Carafem and that someone's baby is a gift from God. A very true statement. Babies are a gift from God. Now, some of you might be asking, what is the FACE Act? According to Cornell, the FACE Act is it's 18 U.S. Code Section 248, the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances. Prohibited activities, whoever, one, by force of threat or force or by physical obstruction, intentionally injures, intimidates, or interferes with, or attempts to injure, intimidate, or interfere with any person because that person has been, or in order to intimidate such person or any other person or any class of persons from obtaining reproductive health care, aka abortions. Now, you and I both know abortions are not reproductive health care. Abortion is murder, plain and simple. There are no ifs, ands, and buts about it. Abortion is murder. Each and every single human being is created by God, in the image of God, for the glory of God. We do not get to dictate when an innocent, keyword innocent, person's life is ended. People in the womb, babies in the womb, fetuses, as the secular left call them, in the womb, are human beings. Life begins at conception. That's just a scientific fact. Life does, in fact, begin at conception. Anyone who says otherwise is either misinformed or lying to you. Many pro-abortion activists admit that they know that life begins at conception. In fact, if you go scroll on my Twitter, you'll see at the March for Life, I had an interaction with a pro-abortion activist who himself said that he knew that abortion was murder. He just didn't care. That's the posture of many of these people. Why is the FACE Act actually federal law? Who decided it was a good idea for the federal government to say that you cannot obstruct people from going into abortion clinics? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that anyone should threaten violence against anybody. I'm not saying that anyone should commit violence against anybody. But obstruction into abortion clinics should not be federal law. Republicans should be jumping at this and shutting this law down. They should be voting to repeal it. The FACE Act needs to go. Congressional Republicans, if they were wise, would be going forward with a full repeal on this bill or this law. They would be going forward on a full repeal of this law, 100% repeal. But as we know, Republicans are addicted to losing. And as we will see, nothing will be done about this case from Republicans. And it's surprising to me that this case, tried in Deep Red, Tennessee, found these people guilty. If you review the video footage, you won't see any obstruction. You won't see any violence going on. These are people just praying, singing hymns, and trying to have peaceful, loving conversations with people who are trying to go into the abortion clinic and telling them this is not a good idea. This is not a good thing to do. You should change your mind. You should have your baby. If you need to put it up for adoption, we'll help you. If you need help taking care of it, we'll help you. Pro-abortion activists would have us believe that every single abortion mill in the country is a safe haven for women who are just seeking reproductive health access. It's a bold-faced lie. Abortion mills are nothing but places of darkness and murder. All they care about is getting the money from the woman. They don't care about what happens to the woman afterwards. In fact, you can go and look and you can see records of tons of cases of abortion facilities not caring about the women after the abortion's done. They won't call 911. There are audio recordings of abortion mills refusing to call 911 to help women that are in need. They only do it unless it's absolutely necessary. And even then, they reluctantly. These abortion mills are not places worthy of federal protection. They should be shut down in every single state. Cases like that of Kermit Gosnell get buried by the mainstream media because it contradicts their narrative. If they highlight cases of abortion doctors who did not care for the women, in many cases just murdered the woman along with her baby, that narrative would completely destroy the pro-choice movement. That's why they bury it. Because the mainstream media, as we know, is in bed with the left. This is not also to mention the complete hypocrisy that is coming from this case. We watched in 2020 as rioters looted and burnt cities to the ground all over the country, and not a single one of them faced any jail time, and those that did bailed out of jail by politicians like Kamala Harris. Now, we see peaceful pro-life activists who are just singing hymns and trying to help women in need get thrown in jail and convicted. The double standard and the hypocrisy is on full display. And if you don't think it's going to get worse, let me tell you, unless something changes soon, it's going to get worse. This is just a shadow of what's to come if Democrats keep getting their way in this country. The left hates Christianity. The left hates life. That's why they have so many destructive ideologies. Abortion destroys human beings. Gender theory, transgenderism, destroys human beings. It destroys your identity. It makes you think that you're something you're not, and it turns you into this, it's a version of this ancient Gnostic heresy that says that your soul and your feelings are more important than your body, and it turns you into a depressed mess. People who are transgender don't need gender-affirming care. They need help. They need prayer. They need God. But the left hates God, and they hate anything to do with God. And at all costs, they will turn people away from God. That's why you see destructive ideologies like the alphabet soup nonsense running rampant in left communities. These pro-life activists are not criminals. They are heroes. We should be praying for them, and we should be praying that they can appeal this case, hopefully get it overturned, their convictions overturned, and we should be praying and lobbying our congressional leaders, our Republican leaders in Congress, to be overturning the FACE Act as soon as possible. I hope you will join me in lobbying some of these members. It needs to happen, and it needs to happen soon. Now, turning our attention towards a much different topic, should Christians go to gay weddings? That's a question that's been popping up a lot in recent days as we've seen a controversy surrounding Pastor Alistair Begg. Now, Alistair Begg is a pastor of mine. However, I do believe that he is wrong in the analysis that he offered in terms of whether or not Christians should attend gay weddings. Now, for many, it might seem a very, very complex, nuanced issue, but it's really not. Homosexuality is one of many sins listed in the Bible. Now, there are some who will try and claim that homosexuality is not sin. Those people are full of crap. Now, but homosexuality is a sin listed in the Bible. It's a sin just like any other sin. It's not some special sin that needs to be singled out. But that doesn't mean that we are pass to just go to any and all activities that involve it. Now, as we know, the Bible declares that marriage is a holy sacrament. Hebrews 13:4 says, "Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge sexual immoral and adulterers." Who falls in that category? Well, let's look at what the scripture says. Homosexuality is described in the Bible as a sin, as an affront to God's design, and as contrary to nature. The Bible is very clear about the fact that marriage is between one man and one woman. The Bible is also clear that Christians, while we are supposed to welcome in sinners, while we are supposed to, as Jesus did, dine with sinners, we are also supposed to call sinners to repentance, and we are supposed to have no fellowship with darkness. We are supposed to expose evil and darkness. By the biblical standard, we can love our homosexual friends, neighbors, family members, whatever, but that doesn't mean that we accept them as they are. We accept who they are, but we don't accept their sin. And that doesn't mean that if we are invited to their weddings that we should attend. A Christian going to a homosexual wedding gives validation to that wedding, when in reality, it is no wedding ceremony at all. It is just a pretend attempt at something that God decrees is not so. Two men getting married isn't a legitimate marriage in the eyes of God. Many will argue with that, but that's just the fact. God decrees that marriage is between them and one woman. We should not be shunning people just because they're gay, but we should be trying to lead them to repentance as Christ did. Many people will point out examples of Christ going and hanging out with sinners, but if you look at all those examples, Christ never affirms their sin. He never says that what they're doing is okay, and that they should be proud of who they are. Instead, he says, repent. Repent and turn to me, because I offer something much greater than what you have now. Christ, in love, offers eternal life. But in order to have eternal life, you have to repent of your sins and turn to Him. Repentance does not mean that you continue your lifestyle and just feel sorry about it. It means that through the work of the Holy Spirit, that you do your best to not continue that lifestyle. There are plenty of examples, including the most prominent being maybe that of Jackie Hill Perry or Rosario Butterfield, of formerly gay people becoming Christians, repenting of their homosexual lifestyle, and becoming heterosexual and living the lifestyle that God designed and intended for them to live. This is not oppressive, and this is not something that's a shackle against humanity. Homosexuality is a form of sin. It is a form of slavery. It is a form of bondage. It is a form of trying to satisfy your own desires outside of the bounds of God. That is not something that we should be condoning. Being gay is a sin. But sin is covered by the blood of Jesus. You just have to repent and turn to Him. And He will forgive you of your sins and give you a new heart. It sounds way too simple, but it really is that simple. You don't have to work for salvation. You don't have to work to gain your salvation. The work has already been done, and it's been done on the cross. Eternal life will be granted to you if you lay down your life and trust Jesus as Lord. But part of trusting Jesus as Lord is recognizing that there are things that you will have to give up, including your sinful fleshly desires. Some people can't handle that. Some people think that it's oppressive, but that is what the Lord requires. Repentance. Genuine repentance. Now the Holy Spirit will play a part in that. And sanctification, which is the process of becoming more like Jesus, is a long process. It's lifelong. You're never going to stop sinning. But the closer you come to Jesus, the less you will sin. It's that simple. Homosexuality is sin. Sin should be repented of, not condoned. And any Christian who attends a homosexual wedding and does not proclaim that it is wrong and is sinful and call for repentance is not living the biblical standard. I love Alistair Begg. I'm not going to harp on him because there have been enough people online who have been calling out this issue and calling him to public repentance. But I will say, I do believe he is wrong, and I do believe that he is teaching a wrong doctrine. Now, I'm going to pivot to one more topic before we end tonight, and that is someone who I wish I did not have to talk about, but unfortunately, it is someone who I do have to talk about, and that person is Taylor Swift. Lord, help me. Now, we have seen on the right a mass reaction against Taylor Swift, especially since the Chiefs won the AFC Championship and are headed to the Super Bowl. Some have been speculating that the NFL rigged it in favor of Swift, and some have even speculated that she's going to endorse Biden at the game. Now, personally, I think that because she does have a tour date in Japan, that it's going to be very difficult to even get to the game in the first place, and I personally would hope that she doesn't end up at the game, but, you know, we will see what happens with that. But the right does have to be careful with all these crazy accusations that they are throwing. Now, there could be a case to be made that the NFL is rigged. It is. But I don't want to say that they rigged it for Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, but so that Taylor could endorse Biden. I don't think that that is what was going on in their minds. I just think that they were like, oh, Taylor Swift, that's a source of revenue. Let's go with her. That being said, Taylor Swift does pose a threat to us. She is a liberal. That much is obvious. And she has a mass influence of people over people in society. It's scary. You might have seen a few months ago a statistic came out that said over one-fifth of voters, likely voters, said that they would vote for whoever Taylor Swift endorsed in the presidential election. She's more than likely going to support Biden. That's one-fifth of American voters who are a guaranteed lock for Biden. That is insane. Now, the other four-fifths, you know, you could say that they could be swayed either way, but those also include people that are lifelong Democrats. They might not vote for Biden just because Swift said that you should vote for Biden, but they will vote for Biden because they are Democrats. But Swift does have influence over independents and over young voters who might not care either way in politics. They will hear their favorite celebrity say, you should vote for this person, and they will do it because they love her. The right has to be careful about how we approach this situation. Many have been approaching it, in my opinion, in the wrong way. They've been criticizing Taylor Swift not because of her liberalism, but because of things that are honestly kind of stupid. Her looks, her music. I don't like her music, but there's no... I don't like her. I think that some of it is very repetitive, but she is a talented individual. That much is clear. We need to be careful about what we go after when we go after our opponents on the left. If we target things that are unnecessary to target, we're going to end up risking alienating people who we could win over to our side with, I hate to sound like Ben Shapiro here, but with facts and logic. Just look at the economy right now. It's a mess. There are companies laying off hundreds, if not some cases, thousands of workers. Inflation is still through the roof. The border is a mess. Everything that Biden is doing is a mess. Over only one-third of Americans support him right now. Only one-third of Americans say that he's doing a good job. It's only 36%. Only 16% of Americans say that they trust the government. We have an advantage as Republicans if we are able to effectively message. But when is the last time a Republican has effectively messaged? Let's think about that for a second. When is the last time Republicans have actually effectively messaged, especially on a national scale? 2016 is the only time I can think of. 2020, bad. 2022, bad. So far this year, bad. We need to work on our messaging. We need to focus on the things that matter to the people. Immigration, inflation, the economy, jobs. These are things that matter. We don't need to care about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce and what they're doing and all this drama surrounding that. That doesn't matter. If we get off focus, if we get off track, we're going to lose this election. We need to stay focused. We need to stay focused. I don't care about Taylor Swift. Just being honest. I think that she has a lot of influence, and we need to be careful how we approach her. But she's not the main target right now in our messaging. She shouldn't be. We need to be careful. Well, guys, thank you so much for tuning in today's episode. I hope you've enjoyed. I hope that you'll give us a subscribe. If you're on Spotify, give us a 5-star rating. I hope you'll share this with all your friends and family. Thank you so much. God loves you. So do I. God bless. Have a good day.